Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Beat me up on the mamas of all mama shit.
Hey, I'm looking through my telescope and I see a mothership. Is that you? Beam me up.
Hey, DA, I'm thirsty, man. Could you beam me up for a cold one?
Hey, DA, what's going on, baby? Stop me off and beam me up.
DA, what's the dealio? Permission to get in that mothership.
Is my window seat still available? Beam me up.
What's going on, DA? Hey, man, I need you to do me a huge favor. My coworker's a jerk. So just beam me up, man.
Get beamed up. Everyone else has. It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
And we come to you live for the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better prices every day. Happy Thursday to everybody. Coming up this hour on the show, a little sound check, including a wacky ending in the battle of the freeway last night between the Angels and the Dodgers. And Dak Prescott making an interesting guarantee for the upcoming Cowboy season.
It's not Jerry Jones.
I have to laugh at Andrew Bogusch's update that you just heard. And I chuckled last night when I saw this on the bottom line scroll. And I chuckled when I read it online as well. White chocolate, Jason Williams, quote unquote, out 6 to 8 months. From what? He's out from what? He is out of this kind of fly-by-night barnstorming tour. Well, that's going to be over in 2 months. So why are we projecting what's going to happen to him 6 months after this is going to be done and maybe a one-off? Are we actually acting like this is a real league where Jason Williams will be out until next offseason of the big three? Are we worrying now about Jason Williams' availability for the 2018 big three tour? Is that what we're doing?
I think we are. My only question to that would be, does the big three, if they come back for a second season, and I think we've all tempered ourselves on any of these leagues that come out like the XFL.
Yeah.
Is there a redraft or is there free agency?
Right.
Like, are all these teams staying together and then we kind of figure out if we're doing trades or something?
Exactly. Right. How do you roster build? How do you swap players?
Will the big three have a super team problem?
Yeah. Like, are the ghost ballers under contract right now but can be outbid by the three-headed monsters?
Yeah, I assume every team is paid for by the big three and not an individual franchise.
Exactly, because there's not owners of the three of the eight franchises.
Rick Mahorn's not owning his club.
So, white chocolate's out 6 to 8 months. If you blow out your ACL, you should just list yourself like white chocolate. You're out 6 to 8 months. From what? Like life in general. Like I'm out from family parties. You know, I'm out from work for a few weeks. Like, I can't come bowling anymore. I won't see you for poker night. You know, basically, it's just like, this is my timetable. Sorry, guys. I'm out 6 to 8 months from life. I mean, Jason Williams wasn't doing anything before this.
Can't mow the lawn for 8 months.
Exactly. Right. Can't do the shopping. Sorry, honey. I'm out 6 to 8. Sorry. Right? So if you ever have an injury of anything, just say, I'm out 4 to 6. I'm out 2 to 4. I'm out 6 to 8. I'm doubtful. I'm, you know, at this point, just list yourself like you're an athlete, because Jason Williams was the equivalent of you. It was like going to the rec league, blowing out your ACL, and they'd be like, well, I can't play for the rest of the rec league. But you wouldn't say I'm out 6 to 8 unless I guess you're planning on next year's rec league.
I got a hip flexor. Bilotti's got this tomorrow.
Exactly. I'm out 6 to 8. Sorry. From, like, life in general. Like, what? Jason Williams had nothing else scheduled after this league is done in August. And we don't even know if it's going to be back. Also, look, I appreciate the big three trying to market themselves. They sent us some cool swag. which on tomorrow's show during the web stream, I'll rock my Ghost Ballers hat and t-shirt or whatnot. You got the three-headed hogs.
The ball hogs.
The ball hogs. You got the three swine. Is that what you got over there? So I appreciate that. I like what they're trying to do here. I like filling this sports calendar with something else in the middle of the summer. But one day of basketball, White Chocolate's out 6 to 8 months, and Corey Maggette had leg surgery. That was after one day of basketball. They had two players play basketball. This isn't football. This isn't MMA. They had one day of basketball, and each one of these games is what, 45 minutes to an hour? So each one of these.
Well, we don't know. They played all 60. We have no clock here. Got a pace of play issue.
I'm just saying that you had a league where games are 1 hour long and two guys had basically season-ending injuries in basketball.
Looking like my dad pulling the varicose veins in a softball game at 40.
Bingo. This was like Mutant League football for Sega Genesis. It was like, yeah, I mean, you might get the basketball, but your leg is going to explode on an alien mine. You might fall into some type of ravine with a monster down there. I mean, it was one day, two guys have leg surgery or a busted ACL.
There is somebody I follow on Twitter that is taking the Big Three so seriously that they were begging Paul Pierce at Paul Pierce's Twitter handle to come take White Chocolate's place.
Nice.
Like, we need you, Paul.
Yeah.
Like, how are you, and it wasn't a joke, how are you that invested?
Right, you had one game. One game has been played, and you're all in on a certain team. You're like, we need you. We gotta have you. We can't get to the promised land without you. One day, and guys' legs are falling off. Hey, old guy's gonna old. So, speaking of old guys, how about Dan Gilbert? This is a story that is simultaneously encouraging and devastatingly depressing if you're a Cavaliers fan. Reportedly, Dan Gilbert tried to trade for Paul George. Okay, good. Dan Gilbert nearly traded for Paul George and Eric Bledsoe. Good. These are good things. However, in the trade, they were going to give up Kyrie Irving.
I am the epic fail.
Not good. No. Not good to trade away Kyrie to get Paul George. That doesn't make you better. But then Dan Gilbert also went to LeBron with this trade on the table and said, can we get a guarantee that you're going to stay? Okay, that's a start. And LeBron said, no.
I am the epic fail.
So you have this kind of swinging emotional pendulum for Cavs fans. Number one, team wants to improve. That's a good thing. Team wants to keep LeBron James. Good thing. Team looking at all options. Good thing. However, LeBron has said, no guarantees I stay. Bad thing. They're looking about trading Kyrie Irving. Bad thing. And you have Dan Gilbert running personnel. Really, really, really bad thing.
You are a machine of death.
I mean, would you trust Dan Gilbert to make trades? Would you trust Dan Gilbert to build the roster? Would you trust Dan Gilbert to do what's right by the team? Personnel-wise, no. Not at all. Not in a million years. This is Dan Gilbert's problem. He doesn't know what he doesn't know. Dan Gilbert might be a fine guy. Seems like he cares about the community. Seems like he cares about Cleveland. Seems like he cares about the fans. Seems like he feels like a fan. Those are all good qualities as an owner. You want to be empathetic or sympathetic to your fan base, to your customers. That's very cool. What's bad is that Dan Gilbert doesn't know what he doesn't know. He thinks he knows basketball. And he doesn't. He thinks he knows roster building. He does not. This is why he has given the heave-ho to every general manager that has ever worked for him. You realize he's owned the Cavaliers for more than 12 years, and no GM has ever had an extension past his original contract? David Griffin, yes, it's mostly LeBron, but David Griffin just built a team that went to three straight NBA finals. Sorry, we don't see eye to eye. You're out of here. This is Dan Gilbert's problem. He needs to know, I don't know basketball. I don't know roster building. I don't know personnel. I give that to somebody else, and I respect them, and I trust them. Dan Gilbert, what he did was he fired David Griffin and said, I could do this. Yeah, I mean, maybe we'll bring in Chauncey Billups, and yes, maybe this is the most important part of the calendar for roster building. You know, the draft and free agency, but I mean, I could do this. Thank God this trade didn't go through. I mean, because at least Kyrie is sewn up for you past next summer when LeBron might opt out and leave. Could you imagine Dan Gilbert making a trade for Paul George? Paul George saying, I'm not signing an extension. I'm a one-year rental. Bringing him in, them being exactly the same, because if you lose Kyrie but bring in Paul George, it doesn't make you much better. It might not make you better at all. If it makes you better, it's marginally because of Paul George's defense. Them losing in the NBA Finals again, and then everybody leaving, and you don't even have Kyrie there. Maybe being worse than you were this year, and everybody leaving. I wouldn't trust Dan Gilbert. I wish Dan Gilbert would trust other people. But this is his problem. Doesn't know what he doesn't know. And you know what? Clevelanders got all over me for suggesting this is a potential nightmare, that Jimmy Butler wanted to go to Cleveland and that he started texting the guys of the Cavs and they said, not right now, man, too volatile. Cavs fans undressed me on social media for days for this suggestion. Well, this might be the reason that Kyrie or LeBron or whoever else told Jimmy Butler, hey, man, it's a little too volatile right now. Don't come here. Because they knew Dan Gilbert was the GM right now. Hey, don't do anything right now. Let's just pray, cross our fingers. Let's get through these choppy waters. Don't let Dan Gilbert make any major moves. And then once we have a real GM in place, hopefully it's Chauncey Billups or somebody else, then, okay, it'll be stabilized. But this might be the reason that they might have been like, yeah, okay, Jimmy, just hang on there for a second because, like, Dan Gilbert thinks he's building this roster and he's, like, willing to trade everybody. And we don't know what's going on right now, so, like, hang tight. I think that absolutely could be exactly what's happening. When we come back, more suspensions for the Dallas Cowboys, begging the question.
I am a smart Cowboy fan. I know about football.
Is there a culture problem with the Cowboys right now? DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Now get zapped while the sun is out.
All right, DA. We got to do it real big now, man. We got to put a little extra hot sauce on it in the new time slot.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. And a reminder, full episodes are available on iTunes. Subscribe for free. Search DA, CBS at iTunes. You get all of your DA show favorite episodes, anything that you may have missed, want to hear again. Favorite segments, interviews, hours, or full episodes available on iTunes. Just search DA on CBS. Cowboys pass rusher David Irving violating the NFL's PED drug policy has his suspension upheld, which means he'll miss the first four games of the Cowboys season.
This is not Jerry Jones.
Also, Randy Gregory, the team's second-round pick 2 years ago, is suspended at least for a year.
It don't matter. When you a diehard fan, you'll wait the rest of your life.
This is just the most recent of a laundry list of defensive players, specifically pass rushers, that have been suspended for drug use PEDs by the Dallas Cowboys. This year, David Irving, 4 games. Randy Gregory, the full season. Last year, Rolando McClain, a full season. Randy Gregory, 4 games. Also, DeMarcus Lawrence, 4 games as well. The year before, Greg Hardy got 4 games, and Rolando McClain was popped again, also for 4 games. So if you're counting at home, if you're scoring at home with the Cowboys suspensions, that is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 over the last 3 years, all of which at least 4 games, now multiple year-long suspensions as well.
But you people are always dogging out the Cowboys. You won't. Everybody won't right now. It doesn't work like that.
I'm actually not dogging out the Cowboys. What I am doing is suggesting that the Cowboys need to take less risks on guys that they need to perform high on defense to win a championship. And maybe Jerry has learned his lesson. Maybe because of Randy Gregory. Maybe because of Greg Hardy. Maybe because of these suspensions. Jerry and mostly his son, Stephen Jones, will stop taking risks and projects and crossing their fingers. And since they have an elite offensive line, an elite running back, an excellent young quarterback, still have Dez, still have Witten, maybe now it's time that they can simply invest in their defense smartly. But what they can't do is roll the dice on high-risk, high-reward guys. The Cowboys are too good. They've got too good of an offense right now. They've got an excellent window at this point in time where the offensive line is in its prime and not injury-prone. You've got a young running back who's obviously in his prime, already shown he is ready to be the workhorse. You still have Jason Witten at the end of his career. Dez still around. You never know how long a wide receiver is going to be at his peak. And Dak, who's ready. Now is the time to make sure you're not blowing it by having high-risk guys blow up in your face. In the NFC, it wouldn't shock me at all if the Dallas Cowboys were in the Super Bowl. Wouldn't shock me at all. They're that good. But you can't still take these high-risk chances and not expect a few of them to blow up in your face, if not all of them. And Jalen Smith is another one of those guys. Jalen Smith was drafted last year and could have been a pick that you knew could step in right away and help. And instead they said, well, we're going to get good value for this pick. He's not going to play his entire rookie season, but we'll count on year two and beyond. What happens if he never recovers from that knee injury? What happens if he's never right? Again, it's a high-risk chance. I think if you're the Dallas Cowboys, it's time to stop rolling the dice in these high-stakes poker games, or mixed metaphor there, but stop rolling the dice in these high-stakes games and instead make sure you're making smart picks. Make sure you're making deliberate picks. Make sure you're looking at guys that you feel can help you right away. And even if you're going to sacrifice a little bit on the high-end talent scale, you know they're going to be available.
Yeah, we're done. Thank you. That's all I wanted to say. Goodbye.
Because the Cowboys, without Irving and Gregory, now will depend on Tyrone Crawford, Malik Collins, DeMarcus Lawrence, and rookie Taco Charlton. You know, that's not a murderer's row. And had they a couple of years ago been investing in guys that they didn't have to worry about getting suspended for drug use, domestic violence, this and that, they would have a core of defensive players that might not have been high first-round picks, but could have at least been your basis for building back a defense that really needed a lot of help. Mraz, being a defiantly arrogant Giants fan, can you at least admit that the Cowboys are the favorites in the division this year?
I don't know that I can admit that. I think the Giants have a better roster top to bottom. Cowboys defense is a mess. Giants for sure have the best defense. And offense, I think the Giants have closed the gap on the Cowboys' offense by helping their tight end game with Engram and Red Ellison and adding Brandon Marshall on the outside. I don't think that's crazy.
So you honestly believe, if you're an unbiased observer, that the Giants are a better team right now than the Cowboys were?
Yes, I don't think
the Cowboys are.
I don't think it's by a wide margin, but if I'm looking at the rosters objectively, yeah, I think the additions the Giants have made combined with what the Cowboys have going on defense has closed the gap, and I think had the Giants leap them. Remember, that's a Giant team that did win 11 games last year, two less than the Cowboys, and swept the Cowboys. So I don't think that's going out on a limb to call the Giants the favorites this year.
Who's the best team in the NFC?
Whew. See, I mean, it's a good thing for the NFL that it's not that easy. If I had to say...
Is it Green Bay?
I still don't like their defense. I know the defense took bounce. Maybe the Seahawks.
Atlanta?
No. No, I think Atlanta was a fluke.
A fluke?
I think they were a fluke.
I don't think they were a fluke.
I think they have a good roster. I don't think Julio can replicate what he did last year, and I don't think emotionally they can come rebound off that Super Bowl.
Well, Julio can replicate that because he's been doing that his entire career.
That kind of year, though?
That was an amazing year, but if he was given the ball in those types of situations, he's good enough to keep doing it. The problem is they are going to come back down to earth after the hangover of that Super Bowl. It's just too emotionally crushing of what happened.
I would go Seattle even though their offensive line's a mess.
Seattle, the best team in the NFC, despite the Richard Sherman, Russell Wilson friction that still resides over there, and that it feels like they've gotten a little bit worse every year since they won the Super Bowl.
It does feel like that, but I'm talking about they still have the pedigree, been to two Super Bowls recently. Their biggest problem is not even the problem. It's the offensive line can't keep Russell Wilson upright.
Bounce back year for the Panthers?
No.
Wow, 15-1 2 years ago. They were 6-10 last year. You're not even thinking bounce back.
I don't even think bounce back.
They'll be 500 or better.
I think the Christian McCaffrey addition makes them interesting. Like, will that take some of the pressure off Cam Newton getting those hits if they can run the ball a little more with McCaffrey? But I'm not buying it. I don't like that South in general. If I had to pick, I'd pick the Bucs to win the division right now.
I don't think that's a crazy pick. I think the Bucs could be very good. It wouldn't take much, I think, to be a little bit better and win that division. Atlanta won at 11-5 last year. Tampa Bay was 9-7. Arizona, we totally sleeping on the Cardinals?
We could be, but all of a sudden Carson Palmer, who fell off last year, is going to come back and be an MVP candidate again this year. I love Bruce Arians as a coach. Just a weird team. That's a team that was built right, but seemed like it got old way too quick.
Yeah, felt like their window with the last 2 years, the quarterback situation, I agree, very dicey there. Minnesota, we sleeping on?
Could be, but when you come back to it, Sam Bradford's still their quarterback with that, you know, basically fraudulent completion percentage record he set last year.
You're not going anywhere with Sam Bradford, but what happens if Teddy Bridgewater is good enough to go?
I doubt that highly. If he is good enough to go, he still has a lot to prove. Remember, last year was going to be a big prove-it year for Teddy Bridgewater. He still has to prove it.
So we come back to Green Bay.
And Green Bay is always going to be there, but they're not going to win another playoff game again. Ever again with Aaron Rodgers as their quarterback.
Because of your jinx, because of the hex, because of the get away from me buddy hex.
The get away from me buddy hex is real. They are not the best team in the NFC, and they'll make the playoffs, but it's one and donezo, kids.
Aaron Rodgers told Mraz, get away from me buddy, when Mraz went up to him at the Super Bowl at a bar in Scottsdale and showed him the video of the birdseed bet. Aaron Rodgers said, get away from me buddy, and from then on, Mraz, distraught, crying, whimpering in the corner because one of his heroes had told him to get away from him, buddy, declared that Aaron Rodgers will never win another playoff game until he formally apologizes to Mraz.
Can I ask Sean if he was sadder in that moment or Tuesday when DA crushed dogs?
When I made fun of dog pictures.
Which was more heartbreaking for you and your various heroes?
I would say the Aaron Rodgers more heartbreaking because I expect this out of DA. You know, simple mind. Aaron Rodgers, I expected more out of.
Simple mind.
Signed the guy that thought Christopher Columbus was a pilgrim.
Still think he was, but, you know, that's debatable.
Definitely not debatable. One of those things that's not debatable.
Well, then he didn't discover America because the pilgrims did. Otherwise, we wouldn't have Thanksgiving. So we got to pick one here. Did he discover America or not?
He did.
Yes, he did. Yeah. And the pilgrims did not. But the pilgrims did start Thanksgiving.
Well, we started Thanksgiving because America was discovered, so we can't have it both ways here.
We can.
Definitely can.
Yep. Can't.
You're definitely mixing up your historical anecdotes
here. I know Magellan sailed the world. I got that.
We didn't We don't have Thanksgiving because we discovered the new world.
Yeah, well, it was all about giving and sharing. We're going to take a little lamb. We're going to show an appreciation. Everybody's going to come together. This is America. We've discovered it. And now here's some turkey and some coleslaw.
Yeah, you realize that's like 200 years separated the first Thanksgiving from when we discovered the new world or when Columbus landed.
So what? Let me ask you this. What did they do on the last Thursday in November then for those 200 years? What'd they do?
He got us.
You need to eat like this. You need to eat like this.
Yeah. What did we do? What in the colony of Jamestown, what did we do in 1510 on the final Thursday of every November? I mean...
All right.
Were the Native Americans not playing box lacrosse on Fox at that point?
No, and I don't think the next morning everybody was lined up at the doors of small businesses.
Black Friday in Jamestown. Come get your deals, your cyber deals on lumber and oats. When we come back, your sound check, your best audio of the day, including Dak Prescott discussing a prediction he has for his 2017 Cowboys. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Get zapped while the sun is out.
DA, how are you liking the new location so far, sir? I listen to CBS loyally on a regular basis.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Summer's heat can cause your battery fluids to evaporate. Get your battery tested for free. If your battery needs to be replaced, the professional parts people will help you find the battery that you need. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Well, Roberto is full in on the show. He tweeted me a picture of five dogs staring longingly into the camera, and the title is Christopher Columbus Sucks. That's a whole meld of jokes and references from 1 week of the show thrown in. So kudos to you, or as Dick Vermeil used to tell me, kadoos. When I covered the Chiefs in Kansas City, I went to his press conference one time. And he said, you know, we forced some punts in important situations. And the defense definitely deserves kadoos. And I was like, kadoos? Like kazoos? What do you mean? Like little plastic flutes? They deserve kadoos? Oh, no, that's not how you produce kudos. Pronounce kudos, is it? Oh, Dick. No, Dick. No, please. Kadoos to you, my good man. Robert tweets, DA, the NFL equals a monopoly. That's not a good thing. Amazingly popular in spite of the picadillos. Hashtag stay away from Ford Field. Yeah, Jim Irsay, you got to like that this morning. Waking up on your Twitter feed if you follow the Colts owner and seeing a picture of a naked lady spread eagle.
She's a bad girl thing.
Oh, good morning. And kadoos to you, young lass. I can see everything. It's good to know. All right. Perfect. We know where the mountain ranges are. We see the Suez Canal. Good. We have it all mapped out for us. Thank you, Les, and thank you, owner of a billion-dollar enterprise. He says he was hacked. This is also the guy, though, that got a Dewey for being all hopped up on meds and a bag of cash and painkillers in the back of his vehicle. So a sterling reputation for the guy that says he was hacked and tweeted out a picture of the porno. Hey, it's time for your sound check.
CBS presents this program in color.
An educated person can't think he's going to get a recruit by strippers coming in.
They can fire you, but they can't eat you.
And they run through our ass like through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
The audio you need to hear. It's DA Soundcheck.
Last night, a crazy ending in the freeway series. Dodgers and Angels. You have a strikeout, but then a throwing error that leads to the Angels beating the Dodgers.
Here's the 2-2 pitch, and that one is missed. The ball gets away from Grandal. Maven didn't really know where it was. And then the throw to first base sails over Utley, and the Angels are going to walk off on the throwing error. Oh, what a break right there. Maven didn't even start running to first base. And then when he realized the ball was by Grandal, he just started jogging. And then Grandal made a horrible throw to first. And the Angels have won the game in the bottom of the ninth inning, 3-2.
Terry Smith, Angels radio on the call. Boy, John Sterling would not have been clear on that call.
And Susan, it's a play. The ball, there's a play. And the ball... And the Angels win!
Wait, what happened, John?
Oh my God, John! What just happened?
Well, it'll be a 2-2-2-2.
Ben Revere comes around to win the game for the first time since 2010 that there was a walk-off strikeout. So, batter strikes out, ball gets away, batter, having a chance to run to first base, does... And then throwing error sails over the head of the first baseman. Revere comes around to score.
I don't know if he could make any sense out of that play.
Nope. Couldn't at all. It was a play. Dak Prescott was on Tiki and Tierney yesterday. And he says he can make one guarantee about the upcoming season. That the Giants will not sweep the Cowboys again.
It's a great division from top to bottom. And I think there's good offenses, there's good defenses. And I think some teams just match up better with other teams. And I think us in New York on offense and defense, we just match up with each other well. That's just NFC East football to me, where y'all got the better end of it two times. And I can promise it won't happen again.
I really like Dak Prescott, but I do understand that this upcoming season could be a bit of a crash to earth for him. You know, last year he was kind of on a magic carpet ride. Ezekiel Elliott was so good, and Dak was excellent as well, don't get me wrong, but the offensive line was great, and everything kind of rolled for them early, and they kind of built this big win streak. They built this great season, and so they were playing downhill a lot, and no doubt that Dak contributed to that, and I think he's going to have a very good career. But year two, let's see. Year two, what happens if they find themselves at 2-2 to start off the first month? What happens if he threw a game-ending pick six? What happens if he has a couple of bad games and then people are clamoring for Tony Romo to come out of retirement? I want to see how Dak handles that, because sometimes when there's a great rookie season, we know there's a bit of a sophomore jinx, and there's going to be so much attention on him in Dallas because they are Super Bowl contenders. And finally, Joe Maddon and the Cubs decide to DFA, which sounds like a swear word acronym, Miguel Montero, a day after the backup catcher ripped Jake Arrieta for delivering the ball too slowly, leading to 7 stolen bases by the Nationals.
Regardless of what Jake said regarding or being that it would not have impacted the clubhouse, I think it would have. There's too many young guys. With this young, impressionable group to me, and a really good group, that's going to be together for a long time. You don't want to foster, nurture, or condone that kind of message.
I mean, let's be perfectly clear here. This has less to do about a young franchise and a young roster and being impressionable, and more that Miguel Montero was a backup catcher. Had he been the starting catcher, had he been an all-star, you live with that. I mean, this is not the first time in baseball history a player has criticized a teammate. This is not the first time that there might be a guy calling out other teammates. And he was right, by the way, that Jake Arrieta is one of the worst in getting the ball to the plate fast. And that does lead to a guy like Trey Turner, the best stolen base guy in all of baseball, getting 4 stolen bases in one game and 7 overall. And let's be honest, Montero's not very good at this point in his career anymore in throwing guys out. So it all comes to a head. And he was right, though, that Jake Arrieta was a big part of the problem. But nobody's going to talk about that. They're going to talk about how Miguel Montero is aging and fading and no good anymore. So he was right, and if he was a better player, he would have survived this. And so, look, Joe Maddon sometimes, I think, is a really cool, funny, interesting manager to have in a baseball world that is so conventional and conservative. At the same time, sometimes he says stuff that is just, it's always so rosy, it's always so positive, it's always so Dr. Seussy that you can't really even believe it. Like, the reason you do this is because it's a young, impressionable team. No, it's because Miguel Montero is only a backup catcher. And if he's going to rip one of your starting pitchers, a guy that's supposed to be your ace, you know what? Or one of your aces, then that guy's just, he's expendable. Why not say that? Yeah, you know, he's not very good, so he doesn't really have the leash to do that. But if John Lester says something about Kyle Schwarber sucking at the plate, John Lester doesn't get cut because it's a young, impressionable locker room. You know, that's just ridiculous. Like, if Chris Bryant says, yeah, you know what? Arrieta's too slow to the plate, and it's really on the pitchers. And really, this should not be blamed on Miguel Montero because I'm looking at these guys steal tons of bases, and it's because of Arrieta. Are they cutting Chris Bryant? Are they DFAing Rizzo because it's a young, impressionable clubhouse? Of course not. And that is your sound check. I got to say, I feel really fortunate because I think we have the best listeners. And I'm not just saying this to patronize. I really think we have the best listeners in sports radio because you guys, those that have listened to us long enough, understand the tenor of the show, the jokes of the show, the references of the show. And I really appreciate that. And I almost always get a lot of smart, funny, interesting comments on social media, along with the normal nonsense that's on there that you don't like, but I just think our listeners are amazing. And we had one listener, longtime listener, Moose, who actually sent me a birthday gift, which is very nice. Very, very nice. And that was, my birthday was last week, but so this came, I got this early this week, and Kaplan, who's doing the digital broadcast, you might want to start zooming in on one of the cameras because he sent me two football cards. Actually, one baseball card, one football card. Now, when I was a kid, I had a huge baseball and football card collection. Still have them. Can't ever imagine getting rid of them. I have the uncut sheets from the 1978 football top set, which I just love, a 1984 MLB top set. Uncut sheets of love. I got all these cards that I just will always hold on to because of the memories, and I was a big collector. So he sent me two cards. This is very cool. He sent me, tongue-in-cheek, wink, wink, a Tim Tebow rookie card, baseball-wise, 2016 Leaf, gem mint, first graded, Tim Tebow outfielder, New York Mets franchise.
That's awesome.
Which is funny because I've always ripped Tim Tebow as a baseball player, so Moose knows. I've always said that Tim Tebow is nothing but a sideshow. He's never going to be in the major leagues. He's going to hit like 200 if he's lucky, and flame out, and that he's a narcissist and all of this. So Moose knows. But then also, even better, he got me a Brandon Weeden 2012 Panini Contenders.
Whole snapper and third string quarterback.
And this is amazing. This is really, really, really amazing. And he writes, make sure to read the description on the back of the Weeden card. It's good for a laugh, especially the last sentence. So here's what it says in the back of this 2012 card. If Weeden can replicate the week two numbers he posted against the Bengals with regularity, his 2012 season will be a rookie year to remember. Completing 26 of 37 passes for 322, two touchdowns and no turnovers, he proved he is more than capable of putting the Browns back on the NFL map.
Brandon Weeden's a bum. Colt McCoy's going to be gone. Jason Campbell just signed. He's a bum.
Can we play that one again?
How Brandon Weeden is still in the NFL boggles my mind.
So this must have been made midway through the season. This is also a 10, and it's autographed. So now I own in my possession an autograph of the worst quarterback in NFL history. And the back of his card saying if he can replicate week two, he should be able to put the Browns back on the NFL map.
Whedon back on first down. Looking. Going to fling the ball out. It's going to be intercepted. Oh, my goodness. Oh. DeAndre Levy picks it off. Oh, the unthinkable.
Oh, boy.
He was trying to get out of there, and he just flipped the ball up in the air, and the linebacker Levy intercepted it.
So, if they had a football card which earmarked the greatest moment in backup quarterback history, and that was him underhand flipping a ball that gets intercepted on the sideline, which you just heard, that would be my favorite football card of all time. That autograph would honestly be, if I can get an autograph Brandon Whedon 8x10 glossy of the moment that he underhand flipped a pass that got intercepted as one of the worst decisions in NFL history, that to me would be my most glorious piece of memorabilia. That would be my Charlie Sheen, Babe Ruth contract when he was sold from the Red Sox to the Yankees. That would be the one. If you're watching on the digital broadcast, check it out, watchda.com. I mean, that is just a pretty, pretty piece of memorabilia right there. Autographed Brandon Whedon card from 2012, and Panini even. So thanks to Moose. My listeners are the best.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.